Blog Talk Radio.
Nevertheless, we are here, and I'm so excited that we're here because I have a wonderful, wonderful guest that's returned from last week, and so I want to hurry and get to the lesson. So first and foremost, I want to make sure that I thank all of you that are listening in for the very first time. If this is your first time listening in, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We welcome you. I'm Dr. Happy from Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so if you're tuning in for the very first time, we pray that you will get an encouraging word. We always believe that God's word is encouraging. So if you tune in and you listen in, get your piece of paper and your pencil because you're going to need it, because I know you're going to get some encouraging words. You're going to want to write it down, so write it down. For those of you that are looking for some information, it may not be a brand new topic, but it'll definitely be one that will educate you to learn and study a little bit more to find out really what God wants you to grasp from the lesson. And then we want you to be empowered by the lesson by making the necessary changes that you believe that God wants you to change, and then not keeping it to yourself, but to share it with someone else and be empowering to help someone else. So we hope that you are encouraged, that you're educated, and you're empowered. For those of you that have been with me, praise God for the, I can't believe it, I still get choked up when I say 10 years. Amen. 10 years we've been in this thing. And whether you've been with me for 2 months, 2 weeks, the whole 10 years, however long you've been with me tuning in off and on, I'm grateful that you decide to tune in each week. And so I will always give you a major shout out, because if it wasn't for your prayers and your texts and your calls and even my guests returning, praise God, just to keep this wheel going to do what God called us all to do, and that is to share the gospel. So I will always be grateful for you. I also give a major shout out to Tammy and Jesse Store and the Mega Ministry Group, because without them, wouldn't have known this was a platform for me. So I'm grateful that they provided the platform and that they pushed me out there and said, go, do what God called you to do, and that they've been encouraging and have been a support system for me the whole entire 10 years. So I will always give them a call out and a shout out and thank them for their wonderful, wonderful example, and then for their support. Now, the biggest and the greatest praise to go to our Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. Whether you believe it or not, He's all of our fathers. And we are so excited that we're going to share a little bit of what He's laid on my heart to share and what our guest is called to share on tonight. But before we do that, we always want to make sure that we acknowledge Him by going to Him in prayer before we go into our lesson. So we start the music, an upbeat song to get us in the mode to know that when God says yes, nobody can say no. And she doesn't say this in the song, but we also know this to be true. When He says no, nobody can say yes. Amen. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You thanking You for Your wonderful blessing. We thank You, Father, for waking us up this morning and giving us Your precious gift of life. Father, we don't take it for granted that we didn't have to wake up. But so we thank You for allowing us to wake up. And Father, whether we have every part of our bodies in motion like we'd like for them to be, we're still here. And so we thank You, Father, for what we can move. And we believe in You that You'll help us and show us what we need to do so we can get the rest of it moving. Amen. So we just thank You, Father, for allowing us to know You and to have an intimate relationship with You. We recognize that You are the vine and that we're just branches. As long as we stay connected to You, we can have fruit and bear fruit that will remain. Because without You, Father, we can't do absolutely nothing. But if we remain in You and Your words remain in us, we can ask for whatever we wish and it will be granted. So, Father, we ask that You allow Yourself to become very vibrant and alive in this lesson that we talk about on tonight. We thank You, Father, that all of us have our founded degrees and expertise and our learning. But, Father, let us put it secondary to Your word and Your will and Your way for the people. We thank You, Father, for allowing us to be educated in the topic. And so we pray, Father, that we submit that and yield that to You so that You can use it how You see fit. So that the person that's listening, whether they're listening tonight for the first time or listening 2 years from now or 2 months from now, that they will have the same rhema word, not an information, but a revelation that will desire them to make the necessary changes and not operate in fear, because You didn't give us the spirit of fear. You gave us love. You gave us power. You gave us a sound, disciplined mind. So, Father, let us use what we have. And allow us to be able to put on us the armor that You've given us so that we'll be covered and we'll be protected to do what You've called us to do and not operate in fear as the enemy suggests, but to operate in the power and the love that You do. So we thank You, Father, for the resources You give, Your word, the Holy Spirit, and most importantly, the blood of Jesus, because without it, none of this would be possible. So again, Father, bless the guests that are on for tonight. Allow us to speak and say what it is that You have us to say, so that he or she will not be weary when they leave the broadcast on tonight. We love You, we honor, we adore You. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and we thank You for no distractions or no interruptions, that Your word will go forth and will not return to You void. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 and amen.
Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me. Call me a child of God. I'm very excited that you will get an encouraging word, that you will be educated, and you'll be empowered to make the necessary changes to do what God has called you to do. And so I had our special guest on last week, and one of the people that we have on is Dr. Bliss. She's the founder of the Bliss Center International, which is the home of the Kratos Institute. She and her husband run this wonderful training and teaching, and it helps the whole body, the whole soul. And so she'll come on, and they'll come on, rather, and share a little bit about them. But we want to make sure that we express how Dr. Bliss has not only perfected her skills by getting her doctorate in biblical studies and clinical counseling, she also has a master in biblical studies and Christian psychology. So not only is she devoted to making sure that she can write and divide God's word, she's also, and her husband, are devoted to helping people understanding how fear devastates their lives and paralyzes their lives. And so in their spare time, they do this to help and to encourage people. But they also, praise God, are singing sounds of bliss. If y'all haven't heard them sing before, praise God, it's amazing. But nevertheless, they are sought after because they are teachers, they are speakers, and they are curriculum specialists, especially as it relates to fear. And so I'm so glad that they decided to come back and share with us on a topic that is dear to me, especially for the month of October, because we devote that time especially to a better understanding of who the enemy is and why it's important for us not to operate in fear. And just to kind of give a little small interview, I'm not interview, but update on what we kind of talked about last week, and to bring her forefront, I'll let her do the meat and the potatoes of it. But for the most part, we know that God did not give us the spirit of fear, that fearfulness is not of God, that the Holy Spirit doesn't help us or exercise us in that emotion, but yet we operate in the spirit of love and a sound discipline mind and power that God gives. And so when fear comes, and as we talked about last week, we have an innate fear that we were born with, but it's not the kind of fear that that we're going to talk about tonight. And so we learned that, you know, we're all born with a little bit of fear because, you know, who wants to fall and who wants to hear loud noises? And so we are born with those types of fear. But she also said that those types of fear are not the kind of fear that the enemy wants to instill in us. And I'll let her give the technical words. I don't want to mess it up or say it incorrectly. But I want to make sure that we understand that we didn't have quite enough time to really go into some of the things that we went into last week. And we kind of had to speed up a little bit because of time. And so I won't belabor the time and let her come back on. And then we'll kind of go over some of the things we talked about a little bit and then go a little deeper. And then we'll give you an opportunity to ask questions if you have some or share some comments. And all you have to do, for those of you that dialed in, you press 1 on your phone and I'll see your number light up in the queue. Unfortunately, if you log in, you can either text me or call me or email me or Facebook me, the Leah Killings on Facebook. And then those of you that have my cell number or my phone number, you can just text me the questions and I'll be more than happy to share your number or share your questions or your comments live. But again, those of you that have questions or comments during the part of the session, just push 1 and I'll see your number light up in the queue and we'll unmute your phone. But nevertheless, I will not belabor any more time and bring our special guest in, the Bliss family. And so Dr. Bliss and Brother Al, are you guys available? Can you hear me? Are you here?
We are here, Dr. Happy, and we're so glad to be here and a part of this training, this information on fear, which is something both of us have had to really delve into and look at. So we came out a man of fear into the marvelous light, and now we are just excited to share what we've learned with others.
Amen.
I thank you so much for your heart to serve in this way. So, yeah, we are here and ready to go.
Praise God, praise God. Now, I know last week we talked a little bit about that we're born with the fear of noise and falling, and then mm-hmm. you kind of gave some other things that we do kind of, we kind of learn some of these patterns. But if you could just mm-hmm. tell us that mm-hmm. that it was a dayleo, or can you explain what that meant for those
dayleo.
That? Well, yes.
It's dayleos, a Greek word for fear. That's the fear that's spoken of in 2 Timothy 1:7. The Lord did not give us a spirit of dayleos. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. And what we talked about last week is that this word dayleos, when you look at the meaning of it, it means that person does not have the gumption. You know, it's one of my favorite words, the gumption, the wherewithal, the ingenuity, the mindset to follow God. Because it does take energy. It takes some sense of direction. It takes us being not afraid to move forward and follow him. So that's what we talked about last week, was this word. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us power, love, and a sound mind, what you, Dr. Happy, just talked about. So I wanted to say a couple of things right up front as we get started, and that is, you know, we know that the Lord did not give us fear, this kind of fear. So who did? Let's get all these facts out first. God didn't give us that. So who's giving that to us? I'm going to tell you. Satan. As my mother used to call him, old slewfoot. That's the one who is giving us this fear. It's a weapon. And one of the things I want to talk about today, Dr. Happy, as we move forward, is the art of war, the battle of the mind. And that's where this, and I heard someone say, you know, fear is like carbon monoxide. You know, Satan is like carbon monoxide. It is invisible, but it is a very dangerous to humans. It's hard to detect sometimes, but he is, and fear is extremely dangerous. And the other thing I wanted to say is that we fear what we don't understand. Well, oftentimes, we don't take the time that's necessary to understand what this fear is. We don't understand who Satan is and what he's all about, and therefore, people are afraid. So let me just talk a little bit about, you know, as I was doing some of my research, I found something I thought was so interesting. We do have rational fears, all right? And these are fears that it makes sense for us to be afraid, but not to the point of, not to the point where you become paralyzed. So, for instance, if you're losing your home because you haven't paid your bills and rent for a while, people might be concerned. There may be some anxiety there. That's normal. If your neighbor's dog startles you, those are built in. We have this thing built inside of us to let us know something is wrong and there is danger. People are afraid of that goes above and becomes paranoia, like the fear of spiders, the fear of small enclosed spaces. People don't want to be inside. Fear of dentists, fear of water, fear of snakes, fear of germs, fear of sleep. This is all from the enemy to paralyze us so that we cannot move forward in the gifts, in the purpose God has given us for our lives. It is a weapon that's being used against us. And one of the things I heard someone also say is that, you know what, you don't have to fear Satan, but we can't ignore him either. All right? Don't be afraid, but we must be proactive, right? If it's a battle and we're on the battlefield, right, you don't just stand there, you know, and wait to be taken away captive, right? You just don't stand there and wait for the enemy to come and get you. You have to be proactive, even if the proactive means put on the full armor of God and at least hold your shield up. Get good at holding your shield up to block all the fiery darts of the devil, and those fiery darts are fear. That's what he's shooting at us all day, every day. Pow, pow, pow. It's coming at us, And we at least got to get good with this shield of faith to believe what God says about us. One of the biggest problems that we have is that we don't believe God. And when we don't believe God, we believe something. Don't fool yourself. It's not like you don't believe anything. You believe something. You believe in what you think. You believe in what your neighbor may be thinking. You believe in what your idol may be saying. You believe in what the devil is saying. But when we don't believe God, that's where our biggest problem is coming from, because he's giving us all the directions we need to live and to live free and to live in peace and to live in purpose. All right, so I wanted to just get all of that out in the open as we move forward in talking about what the Lord did not give us. And when we say he did not give us this fear, he gave us self-control, the ability to think for ourselves, the ability to remember what his word tells us, and the ability to make up our own minds and choose. The same ability Adam and Eve had in the garden. What happened in the garden is pretty much what happens to many of us. Yes, the enemy is going to come and throw stuff at us. Yes, he's going to try to deceive us. Yes, he's going to try to take away our blessings. But we need to ask for help. And we have help. God has said so. He knows we will struggle. He gives us three good weapons to go into battle with: power, love, and a sound mind. And then Isaiah 41:10 says, God says, don't be afraid. Now, this is what we got to believe. This is where things get really get off base when we don't accept and believe the word of God. He says, do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. You know, don't be confused. Don't be shocked. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will hold you by the hand. When we are afraid, our love, our power, and sound mind is now compromised, and we are operating in confusion. Amen. So we also wanted to separate what the fear of God was. And what the fear of God means, we reverence God. We have this great respect and love for him. We honor him. We express gratitude to him. We obey him, his commandments, and our behavior is reverent also. And so is our attitude. God does not want us to be scared of him. He wants us to believe him and trust that he knows what's best for us, and not to be taken captive by the enemy who wants to make slaves of us. You know, I was watching a movie last night. It was about the Vikings, and they would go and go into a village and kill everybody, mostly everybody up in there, take all of their belongings, their jewelry, and then take the ones that were still alive. They took them back to where they came from, and they became their slaves. And that's what the enemy has in mind for us. He wants to take us out of our home, out of our place with God, out of the blessings God has given us, and make us his slaves. And I was also thinking of Dr. Happy, that most of us who love the Lord, right, we operate, though, a lot like that other brother in the prodigal, with the prodigal son. In that story, remember the prodigal son, right? He went off. He made a mess of his life, but he came to his senses, came back home. His dad was waiting for him, put a cloak on him, you know, put a ring on his finger and killed a fatted calf. Okay, we got that. But that other brother, that was the one who did not know who he was. He was so afraid that he was going to miss something or not. He was afraid, period, that he would even mess up. He could have been afraid that he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, but he was missing out nevertheless. He did not know what was going on in his own house. The servant had to tell him in a lot of different strange kind of ways. It can keep you out of your blessing, right, by sending you in the wrong direction, it can paralyze you right in the middle of your blessing, where you don't even realize that God has got something for you. You're so busy, scared, looking around to see if anybody's going to take anything from you, or looking at what that person got over there, or what size they are, what money they got, that we miss the whole thing, that we got everything. We got everything. And that's what his father said to him. He says, listen, everything I have is yours. What are you talking about? Why are you watching what everybody else has got? What are you doing out here in the field when you are a prince? Why aren't you up in the house where all the goods are? So a lot of us actually suffer, you know, the good Christians suffer from the fact that they're not even taking advantage. They don't even know who they got it. They're so busy thinking that somebody else is better than me, or trying to measure ourselves up with what the world says is the best way to be. The world says you got to look like this. The world says you need to live over here. The world says you got to have this kind of money. The world says you got to have this kind of hair. The world says you got to vote for this person. All of these things when we are in the house, when we got everything that we need. So that's a whole story, but it is based in fear. Now, let me tell everybody just a little bit of what fear does to us physically, because it's spiritual, and it's spiritual will become a physical issue. Fear interrupts the process in our brain that allows us to regulate our emotions, right? That's why people go off and become out of control. It causes us not to be able to think before we act. Fear impacts whether or not we are going to act ethically or not, whether we're going to do the right thing or not, because you're afraid. Fear impacts our thinking and decision-making in negative ways, leaving us susceptible to impulsive reactions. So fear is no joke. The enemy has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. It's no joke. Fear is not this kind of fear, this Balaam's fear, is not our friend. Fear is a reaction. Courage is a decision. Fear is going to be impulsive, and courage is going to cause you to think and make a decision about what you're going to do. And then the difference between warranted fear and unwarranted fear is that when God uses fear, it's based in truth. When the devil uses fear, it's based on lies. That's how you know if this is the right emotion. Should I be afraid right now? Because remember, there's only two fears that we were born with. But this world has come, you know, this world can come at you with some things in which we need to be really careful. There's danger. No. I'm not telling you there's not danger out here. There is danger that we will run into. It will be based in truth. But it's that other stuff that the enemy puts in front of us that's based on lies that we have to be careful about, because when it's based in lies, it's going to paralyze us. It's a tactic of the enemy to keep us riddled with fear, consumed with what ifs. Life becomes that we focus on things we cannot control versus putting our complete trust in God. Fear keeps us from taking that step of faith into our new career, or praying for a friend who may reject us, or even being able to rest because we are afraid. Amen. And God did not, again, give us Balaam's fear. Instead, his word, when we trust him, it brings wisdom, it brings love, and we have a sound mind, where we will be able to think right. Living with fear stops us in our tracks, where we're not able to, like I said, do everything God has called us to do. So I want to stop right there, Dr. Happy, because my next thing I want to get into is to talk about the art of war. I don't know, maybe people don't want to talk about this because it means now we got to take responsibility and get a strategy to fight off these fiery darts that the enemy has. We gotta practice, but we gotta think. And this guy who wrote the book, The Art of War, His last name is Sue, Sun Tzu. And this book was written, everyone, in the 500s BC, before Christ. This book was written, and this book is popular today because right now warfare is more psychological than it is physical. People have to have a strategy now. People are fighting with their minds. With Putin, he just called up about 5 world leaders and told them that Ukraine was going to use a dirty bomb. Ukraine wasn't going to use a dirty bomb. That was psychological warfare. In other words, he's telling them this is what they're going to do, when in fact this is something he was going to do, but he decided to scare people first. So that's how psychological warfare works, and that's what the enemy uses against us too. So, Dr. Happy, before I get into the battlefield of the mind and the art of war, I just want to stop right there and see if you had any questions or any comments.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. I love when you teach. Amen. So I mm-hmm. always take time to know. But one of the things that you said that I thought was particular, that, you know, we sometimes forget that even though we reverence God, we still have to respect Satan, not in the respect him because he's a cool person and nothing, but he still was created mm-hmm. by, and so we have to respect and understand. And I love that you're about to go into the war, to the art of warfare. That's why we respect, and so we don't take it for granted, because I think sometimes
right.
we forget that it's important for us to know. I was watching I can't remember what the sports name guy is. But he's very popular on, I think it's ESPN, but nevertheless, he was on a talk show yesterday, and he was talking about how most times football games, since it's football season, mm-hmm. a lot of teams study their I don't want to call them their enemy, but praise God, they study the defense of the opposite team. And so in order for them to be able to know how to beat them at their own game, they have to study
mm-hmm.
their weaknesses. They have to study their plays. They have to study how they run the ball, how they pass the ball, if they're a running team, if they're a passing team. And so knowing the art of war, if you will, and I
mm-hmm.
love to go about this, to give the analogy of football and how, you know, we're in that season, how it's easier for us to have examples to allow us to see, you know, how serious this is. That, you know, the world system, we do this every day when we go on our jobs. In order for us to understand how to market our products, we have to know the buying power.
Mm-hmm.
So we do this on a regular basis. We study the process and the behavior, the other things. Why is it so difficult for us to understand the tactics of the enemy? If we understand the
yes.
tactics of the enemy, we'll be less likely to be paralyzed, we'll be less likely to be distracted, and definitely we'll be less likely to be destroyed by the things and the fiery darts that he throws. And so I love the fact that you did say even why it's important that we put on the armor, and I'm sure we're going to get into that. But
yes.
but we have to be engaged. And if we're not engaged, because the Bible says that we're supposed to be alert and so reminded, how can we do
mm-hmm.
this if we're not paying attention? And so I think that it's important for us to have conversations like this, and that we teach from the premise of understanding, and that is there's no fear in understanding. Just like the teams, when they study the oppositions of the teams, they're not afraid to study their plays. They do it because they want to win. They want to be on the winning
Amen.
Side. We want to be on the winning side. We have to study too. And so before I turn it back over to you, I just want to say the spell, the
Amen.
Definition, not definition, but the spelling of Sun, I think you said his name was Two, for the book of Art.
Yeah, his
Sun, S-U-N, instead of S-O-N, because I wrote S-O-N, but I looked it up, and it's S-U-N-T-Z-U,
yes.
in case anybody
C-U.
Interested in the person in the book. Art of War. Amen. Thank you.
The
Amen.
Art of War. Yeah, you know, and I wanted to talk to that, because there are weapons the enemy is using against us, and those weapons are and doubt. Those are the two weapons. Those are the, he used that weapon of doubt in the Garden of Eden with Eve. Did God really say this? And, oh, no, you're not going to really die. This is the beginning. This is the doubting what God says and the fear that there's something I'm not going to have or I'm not going to know. I'm not going to be like, you know, I'm not going to have the best. So that's how he comes at us. That's his weapon of choice. Now, I understand that everybody isn't going to be able to get on the battlefield, right? Some people are going to be able to just outright fight with the enemy. Some people may have to bring water. I don't know, but any, you must be a part of this battle in some way. Ask God, what am I supposed to do in the battle, Lord? Because maybe I don't know the Bible that well, okay? Or maybe I'm, you know, I'm still scared. I don't know what to do. And God will give you your job so you will know what to do and you will be safe also. So to win battles, this is what the art of war says. To win battles, you need to know your enemy. And most importantly, you need to know your enemy's tactics. And this is especially true in spiritual battles. So right now we know the tactic is I'm going to scare you out of your destiny, right? That's the tactic. I'm just going to scare you to death. All right, so when you look at yourself in the mirror, the first thing you have to remember is to look at yourself and say, look, I love you, and nothing will destroy you, and you are not going to fall. This all starts in your mind. And you can discover what your enemy fears most by observing the means he uses to frighten you. Fear the most. If the means that the enemy uses against us is fear and doubt, what is it that he fears the most then? Because those are the tactics. It must be he fears the most is that we're going to trust God, amen, and we're going to reverence God. We're going to believe what God says, amen, and we're going to go with his word. That's the fear. So we got that fear, and we're going to live. And we're going to live abundantly, like he said, because he knows the plans. We're going to live in God's plans. And that's what he's trying to get us out of. Now, battles require a battle strategy. Of course, you can decide to fight. You can just stand there, like I said, and see what happens. Or you can accept that the enemy is trying to scare you out of your future and get proactive. So now, in The Art of War, one of my favorite books, like I said, this gentleman, Sun Tzu, he was a major general in battle. He won most of his battles. And I won't even tell you the one that he finally lost, but he won most of these battles, and he wrote these rules. So some of the things he says is this. The supreme art of war is to subdue your enemy without a physical fight. Now, what does that mean? That means you get them so scared in their mind that they can't react. You get them so scared, you know, in their mind that they run. They won't even fight you. And I believe there's a battle in the Bible where the Israelites was against this group. They scared them first. They were so scared they started running all over each other and fighting each other. That's psychology coming at you. That would be Gideon, Albert said. So when the enemy comes after us, he's trying to subdue us without even getting a fight. We just give up. Stop trying. Stop trying to go to school. Stop trying to teach or preach. Stop trying to buy your house. Stop trying to become a leader. Stop. Just give up. And the battle is won. Victorious warriors win first and then go to war, while defeated warriors go to war first and then win. And what he's saying, you have to defeat the person before you even go to war. That's what the enemy tries to do to us. You don't have to beat us up. We beat our own selves up. He just psyched us out. Remember when you were growing up, they would say, the kids would psych you out by scaring you. That's what bullies do. If you know the enemy, listen carefully to this. This is what Mr. Sun says too. If you know the enemy and you know yourself, you will succeed in every battle. If you don't know the enemy, but you know yourself, you're probably going to win and lose equally. But if you don't know your enemy, and you don't know yourself, you're going to lose every battle. So it is important to know the enemy, know yourself, and know the enemy so you can win. It is not okay anymore to sit back and not know what the enemy is doing. And we don't have to make this stuff up. We can go straight to the Bible because the Bible tells you what he's doing. You say he's prowling around looking for somebody to devour, to completely destroy. And that completely destroy is spiritually. Take everything you got. Take your family. Take your children. Take everything. And that's when I'm counseling husbands and wives, I tell them, look, the enemy is not trying to get you. He's after your seed. He's after your children. He is trying to break y'all up so he can have direct access to your children. It's a strategy, all right? If you don't know your enemy and you don't know yourself, you're going to lose this battle. So you got to know the enemy. That's who the enemy is, Satan. And you got to know yourself. And the way you know yourself, amen, is to know God and to know what God says about you and who he is to you. Now, the first thing we got to know is that we are children of the Most High God. That was the matter with the other brother. He didn't know who he was. We have to believe it. You have to believe it at your gut. You know, I teach soul ties and how to break them. And one of the biggest issues that people have is not a soul tie maybe with someone else. The soul tie is the spoken word they have spoken against their own selves. And they tied themselves like a vow to that word. And that word could be something as simple as, well, it's not really simple, but I'll never get married. I'll never own a home. I'll never finish college. Those are self-spoken curses where you become your own enemy. And I heard someone say once that our words go forth and wait for an opportunity to come into your reality. Our words really matter. That's why I say we have to believe what God says. He says, think on these things. Guard your mind. Don't have idle words. And the thing about these thoughts that we're having, just in case you think you just think something and it becomes so, as a man thinks in his heart. So this word has not only just been spoken, you needed to have believed what you were saying in the deepest part of your being, in your heart, a reality. And a lot of people keep repeating the same things over and over, the same fear words over and over again. Satan is getting it done. Every time we say something that is negative against ourselves, we're helping him defeat us. We're helping him defeat our own selves with our own words because we are scared. That's some strategy right there. That is some strategy. Amen. So sometimes it's true. People, and this is something, Leah, you said that people need to face and remove fears by seeking outside help. And you're absolutely right. The Bible tells us that we need help. And it says in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And Jesus was the wonderful counselor. He expects us to ask for help when we need it. When we feel like we are under attack and we just don't know what to do and we become paralyzed, reach out to somebody, someone that you trust, somebody who maybe knows what they're doing. Don't get stigmatized and stigmatized and not go seek counseling. Get help because the enemy is trying to your mind with all of this negative stuff and all of this fear so that you won't move forward. I don't know if I told you that loneliness is the number one mental health problem and fear is the number one spiritual health problem. Out of those two things brings all of this other negative things. When people are by themselves, they get alone, and the devil starts working with their mind, and then they start thinking like he's thinking, oh, maybe I can't do it. Oh, my God, I feel so tired. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And so when you feel yourself going down like that, and Satan is using weaknesses against you, We have to do what God says, and we must remember that he loves us, and love never fails. I remember when I first came to Georgia, I got in a car, and I drove down here. I've never been out of New York, even though I was born here. I was raised in New York. So when I got ready to come down here, I got in a car, and I drove down here with a map. And I would not fail because God loves me. Just I hold on to simple things. I'm not that sophisticated like a lot of folks. I get the simple word, and I hold on to it with everything in me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. I hold on to that with everything in me so that when fear or something comes up against me and I start to worry about stuff, I go back to the word. Love never fails. This is what God said about me. He says, I know I have plans for you. They're not to harm you. They are to give you a hope. They are to prosper you and then bring you home to me. I hold on to those words with everything in me because that is my strategy. I know myself, and I'm no getting to know the enemy and what he is trying to do to me. Fear and doubt are not from the Lord. You need to know, we know that, but we don't, you know, we get into things, sometimes it gets dark around us and we can't think straight. And that's why this word's got to be so deep inside of you that if you're unconscious, this word will come bubbling up out of you. When I was literally in a coma, everyone, when I was so sick in the hospital, I was in a coma. When I came up out of that coma, I was saying, Jesus is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. I came up out of a coma, and I realized that the word of God has got to be so deep inside of you that even when you can't think straight, the word will bubble up out of you. It will come through into your dreams. It will not fail you. So I want to make sure that I got that through, that we know that, one, our number one enemy is the devil. And whether we like it or not, every Christian must come that we do have a real enemy, an enemy of our minds, an enemy of our souls. He's known by many names, everybody, Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, and the devil. And it makes it clear from his first encounter with man in Genesis that he has nothing but malicious intent for God's creation. Is this to scare you? No, we are talking about fear. We are not talking about being scared. We are talking about being empowered. We are talking about a strategy in order to live on this earth, to not put our heads down in the sand, and to know that the enemy has wiggled his way into all kinds of places and all kinds of things. But nevertheless, God has plans for us. God has plans for us, and they are not to harm us, but they are to give us a hope. They are to give us a future to him where Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I would not tell you. That's why you need to know what the truth is, because John 8:44 says Satan is a liar. He is the father of lies. Now, that's how you know your enemy. He is a liar. He's not going to tell you the truth. And if he does attempt to tell you the truth, it's going to be a half-truth. And you must always remember that a half-truth is still a whole lie. A half-truth is still a whole lie. Your enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour, that's 1 Peter 5:8, brethren, he accuses us before our God day and night. He is an enemy. And some good folks don't like to think about stuff like that. We don't like to think ill. Well, he's the enemy out there trying to get me and take me down. I didn't do anything to him. Why would he want to do all this stuff to me? You know what? I don't know. and I don't really care. Now, if you was walking down the street and somebody grabbed your bag and tried to take it off your shoulder and run away with it, how much time would you spend asking yourself, now, why would he want to grab my bag and run away with it? How much time would you spend talking about that? If somebody came into a store and started shooting, would you stand there and say, wonder why they're in here shooting? Well, why would they want to shoot at me? I'm a good person. I don't bother anybody. That's not what we do. No. You wouldn't do that. You better get yourself out of there, or you better use your karate or whatever it is you know how to do to hold on to your bag. These things need to be thought about ahead of time. You need to think. I know if you're a regular human just like me, we have to think about these things ahead of time now. That's the kind of world we live in, right? Is that we know you would go out and strange things could happen. Terrible things could happen. So you say to yourself, what would I do if X, Y, Z happens? What would I do if somebody rear-ended me? What would I do if they started shooting over here? You already have a strategy. You tell your children. If you see a white van going down the street, cross over to the other side. Unmarked, you know, we know. So we teach strategy to our children. And God is trying to teach strategy to us. He's trying to help us to learn how to operate with an enemy who's trying to take our minds first. And you need your mind. We need to be able to think right. You need your mind. And you have to protect it. You have to protect it from him in all of his many disguises. You have to protect it from anxiety and stress. That's a disguise. You have to protect it from unforgiveness, because unforgiveness will kill you, not the other person. Unforgiveness is a weight that will take you down. God tells us to forgive, but it's because it will save us. It's a strategy for living. God tells us not to be afraid. It's a strategy. Don't do it. He tells us don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Let that go. God has got you. There's no condemnation in Christ. Let it go. Nothing to be ashamed of. The enemy will take that shame and wrap it around you like a snake and choke you. So all of those things, strategies, you take them. You know what the enemy wants to use them for, and you don't accept them. Do what God says instead. Don't be angry. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. We got 24 hours. Let it go. Anger will destroy you from the inside out, literally. When we're angry, it constricts our blood vessels. We get constipated. All kinds of stuff happens to us. Notice that the other person who did something to us and made us angry. Remember that. They did something. But now the anger is killing us. Let it go. Give it to God. That's the strategy. Unforgiveness, let it go. Cancel the debt. That's the strategy. Fear, let that go. Give it to God. That's the strategy. Shame, Adam and Eve hid from God because of shame. Don't do that. That's not a good strategy. Don't get so ashamed that you won't go to God. Don't become so ashamed that you don't think God won't love you. Don't enemy trick you. Adam and Eve showed us exactly every single trick he had in that garden. My husband is showing me right now that I am now running out of time as I was on my soapbox. Okay, any questions of Dr. Happy?
No, amen. We are out of time. I'm just writing amen. Thank you, Dr. Pinkham L. Definitely. We are never out of time, ever, ever, ever. But we are running out of time. Amen, amen, amen. So amen. I'm looking to see. We have time for a couple questions. You have to press 1 in the queue, and we'll see your number in the queue to light up, and you can ask your question. But one of the things I wanted to say while we're waiting is that I love that you specified some of the things that praise God, in my study, in my notes, that is very important that we understand. And I liked how you said it's important for us to know and work with God and follow his will. When we operate independently of God and his will, we allow ourselves to be open and be exposed to the enemy. And why it's important for us to know God, to know ourselves, and to know the enemy. And I like the scriptures that you gave, and so I wrote them down because, you know, I love me some scriptures because I make confessions out of them. But the first one is Psalms 139:14. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. If you know that you are made in the image of God, you know that you will do and follow the things that he says. Isaiah 41:9-10, she talked about how God did not give us a fear, but he's with us. He will not be dismayed, that he will strengthen us and he will uphold us. And then he said in 1 Peter 5:8-9, that we must be sober-minded and to be alert because the enemy is looking and roaming to devour us. But if we resist him and stand firm and faith, we will be able to stand in the things that God has for us. And so Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brother, everything that is true, whatever is honest, whatever is pure and just, whatever is good, there be virtue. We have to operate in the things that God has called us to. And that's why it's so important for us to recognize we have to be led to truth. We have to know the truth. We have to believe the truth. We have to speak the truth. We have to operate in the truth. And when we do that, it makes the enemy back up. And so we know that John 44, that Dr. Bliss shared, that we don't want to belong to the father of lies. We want to belong to God the Father, because he desires us to. But he doesn't desire us for the same that God does. He wants us to be destroyed, and he wants us to be ignorant to his devices so he can devour us. He is a father of lies, and so we can't be caught up. We have to be bound by truth. Now, it's unfortunate that we ran out of time again, but nevertheless,
I know.
It's always amazing having you on because we always get a wealth of information and power. And so can you just really quickly tell them how they can get in touch with you with the Noonday Bible Study so they can keep going on? And then, praise God, I got a message. Somebody said, can she come back next week for part three? So, amen. I love that we could just keep going. Because, I mean, it's necessary. We don't talk enough about why it's important for us
about
to know the
this.
I wanted to
say this. I know you want me to say about how to contact me, but I will, if we get a minute at the end, but I will say this. You know, we have some primal fears, and this word primal, listen to me, everybody, means it's been programmed into our brains, right? And the primal fears are this, and these are the things you need to watch out for and know that it's programmed. God didn't give us this, okay? And you can go look up the scriptures. Fear of abandonment, programmed. We are not abandoned. Loss of identity, don't buy it. Our identity is in Christ. Loss of meaning, don't buy it. God, we were born with a purpose for being here on this earth. Fear of death, don't buy it. There's a whole world waiting for us after we leave this earth. God says he has plans for us. And fear of sickness and of pain, don't be afraid. God says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Programmed fears, everybody. Programmed in us that all of us now walking around being scared we're going to be abandoned, afraid nobody is going to love us. God didn't give us that. Remember that. That's directly a strategy of the enemy. So you can reach me at paracletosinstitute.org or let Dr. Happy know, and we can get you the information on Noonday Bible Study. So, there.
Amen, amen. Well, we are definitely out of time. Tune in again next week where we'll have another inspiring word. For those of you that were online have been cut off, but those of you that are dialed in, praise God, you get to hear just a few more moments. While Dr. Bliss, if you could go ahead and give them your number to contact you if they need to.
All right. All right, you can reach me at 678-522-5361. And if you need someone to talk to, if you need counseling, this is Christian counseling based on the Bible, but combining biblical principles with therapeutic interventions, call me and let me know that you heard me on Dr. Happy's program on Blog Talk, and you will receive a discount. Don't miss your blessing. Don't miss your blessing. Don't fall into the strategy the enemy has to block you from your good.
Amen, amen. Well, I will definitely post some of the strategies that she gave on the Facebook page on Empowered to Change on Facebook, and I'll make sure that you get that information. But I always close the broadcast off with my granny's favorite song because I know she's always listening because she is not one fan. Every praise belongs to God, and so we'll close off for that. But thank you, Dr. Bliss, and thank you, Brother
Albert.
You're
very welcome.
Thank you, Brother Albert.
On time, right. Thanks, Dr. Bishop F., for letting us know how to stay on time and then commenting through Dr. Bliss. So we just love both of you, and we thank you for always being available. And praise God, we will have you back again when it's convenient for you.
Love you.
But thanks again. Love you, too. Love everybody. Tune in again. Mm-hmm. This is Leah Kelly from Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. Remember to always, always start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. God bless and have a wonderful evening.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go. Take it up and give it praise. It's to our God.